Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, where the three of us, Lucy Bella Earl, James O'Neill, and I, Luke Cupfall, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Make sure you stick around to the end for the quick fire round. Don't forget to follow us at Educating Josh on all the socials, subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. So this week, we've had to record the podcast a little bit differently, early actually, because I am currently, as you listen to this, in Colombia. And Lucy, where are you?
I'm in LA at the moment.
That's very fancy. I think LA is cooler than LA. No?
No, which one's cooler? I'd rather be in Colombia.
Okay. That means that we can't cover the polls this week because we're recording early, but we will record both polls, both this week's polls and next week's polls, in the episode after this one. Does that make sense?
Yes, next week's episode.
So please do go to Educating Josh this week. And this week I'd like to congratulate Lucy because your poll was the first one ever to reach 200 votes. Well done.
Woohoo! Woo! Yay!
And I'd like to set a little podcast challenge for you guys listening at home and also us. This week's polls are going to get 300 votes, okay? Go over to Educating Josh and vote. Otherwise, they'll probably, I don't know, skin me
That's
or something.
That's ambitious.
That's because I'm going to create 300 accounts and agree with myself.
Yeah.
I'll do that as well. Then we'll get 600.
So as we can't do the polls, Josh, I wanted to ask you about something you've been telling me in real life about, which is that people have been coming up to you in the street at parties and arguing with you about your point of view on this podcast. Is that right?
Yeah, I now seem to be someone that is very approachable. And it always starts the same way. It's like, oh, I listened to your podcast. It was really good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, and then it just goes into pretty much a half an hour discussion, which the other night ended into people screaming at each other about abortion, which unfortunately is my fault.
That's and basically the format of this podcast.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I love your podcast and therefore I hate you.
Yeah. But on, I do enjoy it when people disagree and I really enjoy discussing it. So like anyone that wants to is welcome to have an opinion.
If you're listening and you know Josh in real life or any of us, come and fight us.
Fight him in the ring.
I wonder if you're going to say that on episode 20. Please stop.
We can't do the poll this week. We can't take Josh it anymore. Dead.
Oh my God. No, don't kill me.
We've had to find a replacement, Josh.
All right, let's get into our first story before we go any further with this. Our first story this week comes from James.
My story comes from Vice this week. Wales is leading the way in LGBT inclusive sex education. Josh, here's the three things you need to know. In 1988, Thatcher's government introduced Section 28 legislation that banned the promotion of homosexuality in schools. In May this year, Welsh Education Minister Kirsty Williams introduced the new legislation making LGBT relationship and sex education compulsory in the Welsh curriculum.
Woo!
We know Luke's opinion.
What's Luke's opinion?
I thought everyone would whoop with that.
Okay, I haven't finished. Section 28 was actually repealed in 2003, but the importance of this new legislation is that it actively challenges the legacy of it. This also isn't the first time that Wales has moved ahead of the UK in terms of LGBT inclusion either, as it's currently the top LGBT employer in Britain. Changes to the current curriculum will happen in 2022 and will require every school, including religious ones, to include LGBT topics in its relationships and sexuality education. Josh, my question to you is, should topics involving LGBT sex and relationships be enforced into children's sex education?
20 seconds, Josh, go.
So I think that the more, throwing back to last week's podcast or the week before's, the more education there is on sex, the better, because then you don't turn to other sources like porn, which is for something very different to educate yourself. Mm. Gay people exist. And I think they therefore need to be educated to the same level as straight people. I don't know. It's kind of simple in my mind.
I'm a real boy.
Maybe it could be made optional, you know, maybe not.
But that could cause offence in schools as well.
Yeah, but maybe it offends a gay person having to learn about a penis going in a vagina. Like, I know that upsets some gay people.
No, I'm not talking about offensive in that way. I was saying maybe the act of having certain people pull out of sex education could
highlight
offensive.
It more.
Yeah.
It's like that when you're at school, it's like, oh, you're not wearing Clark's shoes, you're poor.
I think the question here, Josh, is like, so for example, it's going to be enforced even in like religious schools. So if it's
that was
like a Catholic school,
that's going to be my point as
well. I can't speak for all Catholics, but a big part of Catholicism is that being gay is not acceptable.
They don't like gay people.
And so do you think they should be forced to educate on it? I, by the way, do.
Yes, I don't agree with religion trumping education. Education trumps religion.
The biggest part of my agreement with this enforcement is that, like you said, gay people exist. Gay kids are going to exist, or kids that are going to become gay adults. Mm. And some of these religious schools, or schools who are just in general against maybe the topic, if it was an option, some of them may choose not to teach it. And then those kids who are in those schools who will go on to, you know, start engaging in these sexual acts
as
a gay person won't have the proper education.
You don't choose where you go
currently
to school.
Currently in the UK, my mum's a teacher, so she's had to deal with this a little bit, where the parents can write a letter in saying that they're not comfortable with their children being taught this thing. But isn't that to a certain extent sort of the parent determining the child's life by restricting access to information?
That's what I mean. So like by forcing all schools to teach it, everyone's on the same level. Everyone's the choices, you know, kind of taken away from...
But parents would say that takes away their right to teach their children their own beliefs.
Yeah, great. Okay. Don't enforce your beliefs on others.
All right, like, fair enough. Yeah.
Regardless of your relationship to a person, no one should have beliefs enforced upon them.
Something that I'd be concerned about is, okay, they might be forced to talk about gay relationships, but are they going to talk about them in the right way? Because there could be some sort of tone of voice or some sort of wording that actually makes children think that it's negative.
I've got an interesting anecdote from my personal life. I went to a religious school for a year until I left because I hated it. and we had a sex education lesson taught by a teacher who was religious.
Right.
And somebody, it wasn't me, but somebody else posed the question, what about same-sex relationships? How does that work? Are the risks the same? Yada, yada, yada. And the teacher came back with, I just think homosexual people are people who make bad lifestyle choices.
Okay, well, that is someone giving an opinion.
Yeah,
I feel
instead
like
of educating.
Instead of educating, and that is someone that's not very good at educating by the sounds of it. I think that this would be something that would obviously be very highly monitored.
Yes.
It would be, you know.
I would hope so.
Yeah, it would be what they called like a module or whatever, a curriculum. It would be very much based on something that would be decided by people a lot more intelligent than me, hopefully. It is interesting because what's the correct way of wording? This is a question that I'd quite like to know. So heterosexual sex is more natural. Is that statement correct or wrong?
It's more common.
No, in terms of the way the human body is designed and how reproduction is supposed to occur.
Yeah.
How do you say that without calling it natural or normal? I don't want to use the word normal, but how would you say that sentence without it being problematic and making it
inclusive?
Even
the word natural is finicky because the definition of natural is occurring in nature, and homosexuality does occur in nature as well.
Yeah.
But you're talking
in
about
our human nature, in terms of biology.
How our bodies are biologically built
Would that need to be defined? So you're looking at this curriculum and the teachers, how would they then go, okay, this is what... Even this feels weird, but this is what's supposed to happen, or this is what
they
happens
could say
more
like,
often, or this is how...
They could say 97% of you will do it this way and only this way. Because
oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
97% of you is some people would argue, is in part because of the social stigma of homosexuality. Like, people will go through their life being straight when actually they could be bisexual or homosexual or any other.
They could say the majority of.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I want to question Josh on that, really, is Josh, would you draw a distinction where you would have your child or any child be taught straight sex is the sort of more normal thing, in quotations?
I'd want them to be educated on the fact that this is how you reproduce. I think that's an important definition to... an important thing to define. But is there a difference between this is how the human species reproduces?
So you're talking about reproduction education.
There should be a definite... If you split the two there, then it becomes completely different. And there should be a definition between those two things. So you have reproduction education. This is how the male... The male? This is how the human race reproduces. And you can be educated on that from any age. From absolutely any age, it doesn't matter. But at what age are you then educated on sex?
The distinction is reproductive sex and sex for leisure.
Yeah, so, reproductive sex should get taught as early as possible and understood, and that's great. And then the definition is made between that and the opposite, which is, you know, for enjoyment or anything else, any of the other subcategories that can fall under it. So I guess it's like, should it be forced on children at all? Should straight sex education be forced on children at all?
Absolutely.
Children will come across these things, and it's better that they find out from a responsible source what it's all about.
And also, I don't agree that you need to have... I think you need to have leisure sex education a lot earlier than you need to have reproductive education.
I was going to go into this as well.
You're going to have leisurely sex a lot earlier than you're going to have reproductive sex. And then a system whereby reproduction and reproductive sex, like male-female sex, happens earlier, continues to contribute to the idea that being straight is the normal thing.
Oh, I disagree. I think it advocates the opposite. If reproductive sex is seen more as a functional thing, and sex is seen more as a social thing, by actually separating the two, and if gay, LGBTQ, any kind of desire at all is taught within that as safe sex, woman on woman, man on man, woman on man, as all equal things, the distinction here actually helps.
I do agree to an extent, because splitting them between reproductive and, what are we saying, leisurely sex or whatever?
Yeah.
Leisurely. pleasurable. Sex for pleasure.
Yeah.
If we split those two, sex for pleasure, you know, straight, gay sex, whatever, can be put on an equal level and can be taught in the same, you know, obviously not in the same way, because it's slightly different in the way it works and the risks and stuff, but it's an equal playing field. It can be seen as like a social kind of, more of a social kind of education, whereas... with reproductive, you could just go down the route of biological.
No, because also part of reproduction sex education could be reproduction education. I love this.
Reproductive
could
education.
Be okay. So there are multiple ways that babies can be born. Either a man and a woman come together and have sex, or a woman,
or like IVF,
or you know, the way that science develops, it becomes part of it. You educate correctly on all the ways that it is possible for a child to be born.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think on Twitter at @educatingjosh. It's time for our second story. That's my story. Okay, Josh, my story this week comes from Time magazine. It's that Spotify ends its hateful conduct policy that banned R. Kelly from its playlists. The three things you need to know are that in May, Spotify enacted the Hate Content and Hateful Conduct policy in an effort to remove artists from its platform that advocate or promote hatred or violence against a group or individual based on their characteristics, including race, religion, gender, identity, sex, ethnicity, nationality, sexual orientation, veteran status, or disability. Under this policy, two artists were affected, one of which was R. Kelly, who was acquitted of child pornography charges in 2008, but is currently facing several charges of alleged sexual abuse from women, none of which have yet been proven. At a recent conference, though, Spotify CEO Daniel Ek said they made some mistakes introducing the policy, but Spotify, in a statement, said, "While we believe our intentions were good, the language was too vague and we created confusion and concern." Josh, my question for you is, can and should we separate an artist from their art? 20 seconds, Josh, go.
I think we absolutely can, and whether we should is just on each of us, I guess. Like, I don't know, the kind of thing that this brings to mind is the whole Chris Brown and Rihanna thing, and I personally don't listen to him anymore. Then that's a personal choice. Whereas I know a lot of people that feel similar to the way that I feel about it, but can separate that from his art. I don't think his art's good enough to warrant it at all, but...
Do you think that, for example, a service like Spotify should be making sweeping statements or actions of like, this person's done a thing, we don't want to host your music anymore?
They become judge, jury, and executioner. We're what make things popular, so we should be better at being moral.
Yeah, we're
capable. It's really annoying. We're capable of forcing their hands. I don't think it's down to them. They are not judge, jury, and executioner. I think in this specific situation, he's not actually been charged yet, so... they're making him guilty before a court even has.
Okay,
so they shouldn't have removed him. They're actually saying, this person's guilty, we're going to remove him from our platform because of that.
But doesn't Spotify have a right to, we don't really want to put this person on our platform? Because
he's not been proven to have done it yet.
But it's Spotify's platform, can't they just say, oh, we don't actually like the image he's giving us, we don't like his image on our platform at the moment, therefore we don't want to put his music up.
Who's making that decision, though, and what does that then do to him? What if he's innocent? And, you know, he's innocent. He's also a musician. So,
you know, not only he could be found, he was already found innocent in 2008 and acquitted from something. If he's now found innocent in the future, what have Spotify done to him? And who are Spotify? I'm sorry, what law background do they have to know whether he's done anything?
Yes, yeah, so that's kind of what you were saying last week, wasn't it? About how you don't like the idea of Twitter calling the shots. Things need to go through a legal system,
yeah,
properly, and not just like, oh, well, lots of people online say this thing happened, and yeah, so therefore we're taking you off our platform, which I completely agree
and
with.
And that's why the law is innocent until proven guilty.
Yes, mm. But what would happen if R. Kelly were charged? Should we then... Well, we can still listen to his music, surely, right?
Yeah, yes. But I'd also understand Spotify's decision to remove it. It's a convicted criminal, so...
I just think Spotify, realistically, they can't go back through every single artist that's ever committed any sort of crime and take them away. I do think
it would take a team of researchers, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't ever be fair because there are so many different levels of crimes. Mm. The public is capable of performing boycotts. I don't think we need big corporations to do it for us.
Yeah, it can either be a legal thing where the court decides it or a public boycott where the movement's so large that it's listened to. But I think you were saying as well that Spotify have said they made a mistake. So I think they're also agreeing with us. They're going, we've worded this wrong and this was a mistake, and they've put him back on, I assume.
They have now, yes.
Yeah, so I mean... Will they then take him off again if he's prosecuted in this recent one? Or
well, I think the policy if he's found guilty, not just the fact that they're disregarding his case, they've just taken away the policy now.
The whole policy altogether.
Yeah, it's just comes down to each person. I think that's quite, like I was saying, Chris Brown and Rihanna. I won't listen to his music.
You said the public are perfectly able to create boycotts. Well, boycotts happen for Chris Brown all the time, and it's not like a month goes by that I don't see just a reminder on Twitter, Chris Brown is a terrible person and you're still listening to his music. There are some artists that just seem to be untouchable.
Mm. Yeah, but
and maybe we do need someone to step in and go, right, enough's enough.
No, I don't need Spotify to make that decision for me. I'm fully capable of doing it myself, thanks. I think I don't need them to do it for me. And I think that people that are okay with listening to him are fully able to, even though I disagree with them 100%, that's their choice, and his music's very separate. So
I think the Chris Brown case is an individual case, but I think in general we don't need massive businesses to decide what we should and shouldn't listen to. I think we can make our own decisions.
Okay, yeah. Well, you can let us know what you think over on our Twitter at Educating Josh, where there'll be a poll. Last story of the week, Lucy, that's your story.
Okay, my headline comes from The Times. Ambulances were called to Amazon warehouses 600 times in 3 years. Josh, here are the three things that you need to know. Figures obtained by Vice UK under the Freedom of Information Act have revealed that among rumours of unsafe and overstrenuous working conditions, Amazon's UK warehouses have called for ambulances at least 600 times in the last 3 years, with more than half being for breathing problems and chest pain. To put the figures into perspective, over the same period, at a similar-sized Tesco warehouse, paramedics attended people on just 8 occasions. A spokesperson for Amazon said, "It's simply not correct to suggest that we have unsafe working conditions based on this data or on unsubstantiated anecdotes. Requests for ambulance services are predominantly associated with personal health events, not work-related. However, concerns raised by the workers at the Amazon warehouse were not just about injury, but the exhaustion that comes with the work. My question for Josh is economic progress as or more important than workers' rights?"
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
First of all, I'd just like to point out to that spokesperson for Amazon that it is simply very correct to suggest that they have unsafe working conditions. It's very correct to suggest it, like, whether it's true or not. But like, I don't disagree with that statement. I actually think that workers' rights are more important than economic progress. Surely having better working conditions for workers means more economic growth.
Well, maybe we're thinking about things like services such as Amazon Prime. I mean, we get all of these things to our door, but on the other side, there are all these people working like slaves.
I definitely don't think, for example, Josh, that that better working conditions always equates to better service. Like a lot of the clothing industry uses sweatshops in India or sweatshops in China, and they are massively horrible working conditions, or at least did in the past, or were in the past, because a lot of things have changed.
Yeah.
But they're not doing this to destroy people's lives. They're doing this to squeeze every penny out of those people's hours as possible.
But in terms of economic growth, surely if that person is one happier, not working as hard, has more time to spend money, is earning more money, then puts back into the industry.
Economic growth of just Amazon, not I'm talking, the economy of the country.
No, I think it says economic progress in general, right? We're not talking about just Amazon. Like, if they do that, and if they have, you know, people working that hard, that many hours, then great. Amazon's economic progress is fantastic, but in general, economic progress, it doesn't add to.
But how do you enforce that? Because Amazon's working perfectly within the law, but they're maybe working unethically, forcing. Like, for example, there's a guy called Aaron Calloway. He's 24 years old. He told The Guardian that he was expected by Amazon to process items in 15 seconds or less, or get through 250 in an hour. Or he'd be given a warning by a manager. And that's the kind of thing in those warehouses. The BBC have covered this extensively as well, where they have targets they have to hit. They're tracked per second how many things they're doing.
Yeah. I find stuff like this really interesting because
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
You know, someone like Amazon, they're looking at their own profits, or are they so influential that they have to look at the economic growth of the whole world, like, so that it doesn't stunt them? Do they have to be that self-reflective and, you know, that aware of all these issues? Because who regulates that? So say you've got someone in a warehouse that has, like, the demands from Amazon are you have to do this every 10 seconds. Like, what human rights exist there? Like, who goes, well, no, that's ridiculous. You can't expect that of someone.
Well, that's why unions are formed and things like that.
Right. So are the unions, like, fighting back about this?
I don't know. I mean, I know that employment is an issue, but I think maybe workers have to ever so slightly vote with their feet.
Well, Amazon have a certain extent. Oh, sorry, Lizzie. I think to a certain extent, Amazon have the upper hand in that they go, well, fine, we'll fire you. Like, go get another job. And people need these jobs, and they don't really have a lot of options.
Well, don't take the job then.
Well, like, but that's exactly like. Should Amazon be allowed to be in that position?
If it's legal, then yeah. Amazon has no ethical responsibility at all. That's the government's position. That's their job. The government's job is to govern and make sure people don't abuse their citizens. So if this isn't a failing on Amazon, this is a failing on the British government. Like, if that's what's happening, that number has nothing to do with Amazon. It's to do with the fact that Amazon are a company that are trying to make money. Of course they're going to get the most out of their workers. The government should be aware of that and force them to have.
So you think Amazon rules? Maybe is almost being scapegoated here by the fact that the government should act for workers' rights rather than Amazon?
It's the government's responsibility to, yeah.
It's 100% the government's responsibility to turn around and say to Amazon, look, you've had 600 ambulance called to you in the last 3 years. Fix it. Like,
well, I think that's sort of the problem with these giant companies is they're in a position where Amazon can just say, well, if you're going to force these rules, we'll just not operate in the UK.
Yeah.
And they do that.
Great. So then they can leave and someone else can come along. The Royal Mail. Someone else can provide the same service. It's not irreplaceable.
No, but the economy would lose so much money. It really would. It would be an instant hit. Loads of people who are okay with this would lose their jobs. I agree with you that it's a governmental issue.
Yeah.
But I also think that Amazon does have to take some responsibility in being a good company to work for.
They're as bad as terrorists. That's literally a company that's going, okay, well, the government doesn't enforce it, so we don't have to do it. And so I get that they're looking at a profit margin, but, like, absolutely not. And if they're going, we want to be able to abuse human rights or we're going to take our work elsewhere,
go. It's the equivalent of someone ignoring their problems until...
Do you think that companies
have also very short-sighted.
So do you think companies have literally zero responsibility? I know that they don't legally have any responsibility, but on a moral, ethical, sort of corporate social responsibility level, you think companies have nothing? They just have to stick to the letter of the law and that's it?
Well, because they're going to abuse it, unfortunately. Look at, and I'm going to get these facts horrendously wrong, but petrol prices going up, right? Every year BP makes a profit, a huge profit, but you still hear all the time, we've had to hike prices. No, sacrifice some of your profit.
But what's funny
and
here...
And profit is money raised after their fat, you know, massive bonuses and the ridiculous commissions that they're on. That is profit. So half your profit, take a hit, let the economy grow, take a hit. So yeah, the government should. It's literally their job.
So from what I see, the only solution here would be if we, the public, rose up and said, well, we're not okay with people being taught. Treated this way in Amazon's warehouses, we're going to stop buying things from Amazon.
No, I don't think it's our responsibility at all to rise up.
What's the solution,
I think it's
then?
The government's responsibility to look at the fact that there's almost 100 times, like 90 times more ambulances being called out to Amazon warehouses. That's a fact.
Than every other type of warehouse.
Than every other type of warehouse in the UK. They should recognise that that's their job. It's not my job to police that and rise up. You know, it's my job to vote in the government that is in power, and hopefully that's who gets voted in. It's not my job to go out and police multi-billion, almost trillion-dollar companies.
No, but we can form opinions, and I just think the issue is that Amazon is so powerful and so many people rely on this service now. Are we willing as a society to forgo the enjoyment of having Amazon Prime accounts and having everything on our door the same day or the next day? For the good of the workers, and I don't think a lot of people are.
I don't know if I feel the same ordering like something on Amazon Prime now, which comes to your door in 2 hours, knowing that there's someone out there getting
I'd stop using the horrible.
And the thing is, well, Amazon would come along, no doubt. I don't know, but no doubt they would come along and go, the government is stopping you from having Amazon Prime, and turn the people against their own government for trying to regulate things.
If the British government turned around and said, okay, this is ridiculous. You can't do that many orders per minute. You can't do this. You can't do that. And Amazon turned around and like, right, well, we're leaving then. And the British government went, all right then, bye. I think British public opinion would be like, yes, that's a government I'm proud of and can stand behind.
Think how many people would lose their jobs.
The majority
There's
of people
so
wouldn't.
Many people. And not everyone is upset with this. Not everyone is working in the warehouse.
What Amazon's essentially done to this country and the world is they have destroyed to like large swathes of the retail industry that were treating their work as well. And they've replaced it with a better service. Yes, a much better service. That's why the retail industry is dying, because Amazon's much better than them. But they're also not replacing it with the same standard of jobs.
Exactly.
And you think, I can't understand the idea that they have no moral obligation at all.
No, but they do. I'm just not... I just don't think they'll ever do it. Ever. I can't see one example of that. That their job is to make money, and this is people that are... looking at it as a way of how can I increase my profit margins.
So maybe it's a systemic issue then, in that our whole world is geared towards how am I going to make money?
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Lucy, yeah. You satisfied with our discussion on this topic?
I don't know. I think it's an interesting one. I don't really think we've come to a proper decision on it. I just think we think that Amazon's a little bit bad.
I feel like this is one of these stories where we basically have a gut feeling on what we think, the way we think things should be.
Yeah.
But we can't find an actual way to implement it. Whereas Josh has got a very good way of implementing it. Well, people can just do as long as it's legal, like fine. Whereas we have sort of an intangible moral dilemma with this, which can't really be implemented in law.
Yeah, so if I said to you, if you take the morals and ethics out of it, if you're not happy with that, whose job is it to regulate that?
It is the government's, yeah.
It's the government's job. So I think that, the Amazon's being used as a scapegoat here. I think they've done something morally wrong, but they've done nothing wrong. I think they should be...
Not legally, technically.
Yeah, not legally, and they're going to get away with anything they can technically.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think on Twitter at EducatingJosh in our polls. It's time for the quickfire round. Josh, almost four times as many people applied to be on Love Island this year than applied to get into Oxford or Cambridge University.
It's from James.
I want to die.
That's because uni's rubbish.
The president of the Philippines asked a woman, are you single?
Is the president of the Philippines male or female?
Male. Okay. Before kissing her in front of a crowd of 3,000 people.
He got consent?
I mean, yes, he did, but do you not think that's a little bit... abusing your power? You are the president. There's 3,000 people watching. Bit scary.
Kiss me.
No, you got consent. I don't know.
Okay. Apple has announced that it plans to block all tracking methods used by websites such as Facebook and Google in what they call standing up for privacy, but others call a direct attack on a business model.
Holy crap, Apple are going to make so much money.
And lastly, Fed, a 10-year-old Labrador, has adopted 9 orphan ducklings at a castle in Essex.
Did he save them from the woman running over them on the way to McDonald's?
Well, from last week.
Where were you when those ducks needed you?
All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. We've had a good week, bit of a quiet week, but a good week. We've not fought that much, that's good.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Good.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Educating Josh, where there'll be polls and content from each of today's stories, and we'd love to hear your thoughts for next week. We'd also like you to send in more questions for next week's quickfire round. Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.